Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us on this Thursday, the 15th of September. And the sounds that you hear are just us getting ready for a an hour of radio magic. Yeah. That's all. All the ingredients are being put into place.
Abracadabra.
The roadies
are right.
At work.
Let me introduce the panel. Alan Chartok is with us. Good morning, sir.
Hey.
There he goes again.
Hi, Alan.
Hey, Joe.
How are you? WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Ray Graff, WAMC newsman extraordinaire. How are you, sir?
Very well. Thank you.
Also the host of one of my favorite programs, Food Friday. What's on the show tomorrow? Do you know?
Oh, this will be good.
Yeah.
Yeah, the two crazy guys will be on to dispel food myths.
Ooh, food myths.
And we're going to do a game show, and we'll have sound effects, and we'll see how smart I am, which is obviously not very smart. I'm still sitting here.
It's great to have you here, Ray. Thank you very much.
Is it over?
Yeah. Rosemary Armeo joins us. She is the director of the journalism program at the University at Albany, and it's always a pleasure to have you with us. Good morning.
Always.
So what's happening at 1 o'clock today, Joe?
We have a debate. It'll be airing live. It is between the candidates running for the 19th congressional district and here in New York, and it is John Faso and Zephyr Teachout. This has it's been getting attention from all over the country because this is a hotly contested race.
It's one of the few fair fights, as they say.
Right. It's an open seat. And so both candidates will be here and will be airing that live at 1 o'clock this afternoon.
Why is this one particularly fair?
Fair because it hasn't been predetermined by gerrymander. In other words, it's an open district. It's an open seat because Chris Gibson is retiring, and it's fair because the legislature or the judges, whoever, have not predetermined that this is going to be a Republican seat or a Democratic seat. So that makes it a fair fight, meaning it's for once you get a choice in an election.
Now the event itself is sold out and has been for weeks. But if you want to listen to it, you certainly can on the radio, and it'll be a broadcast live, beginning at 1 o'clock this afternoon.
Not only that, but the national press is all coming.
That's
all
right. So
Washington Post and others,
C-SPAN, C-SPAN will be showing it, and NBC. So it's very exciting. So all of that will be happening this afternoon. Now we have other things to talk about. So we will go to those. We got the health reports. We got the health reports, sort of. At least we got a health update from Hillary Clinton yesterday. According to her doctor, it was mild bacterial pneumonia that put her down on Sunday. And that she has been dealing with. Today is the day that she returns to the campaign trail after taking it easy for the last couple of days. And meanwhile, Donald Trump acknowledged on Wednesday that he was overweight and taking a cholesterol-fighting drug. And that's all we pretty much know about his medical report.
Okay, I'm going to shock you. I'll tell you, I'm taking a cholesterol-fighting drug also. What I saw in the paper was that they said that, as is, by the way, I think about half of America, But one of the things that I thought was interesting is they said it helped him with his cholesterol and also with his, I saw some quote saying also with his blood pressure. I don't think that's what that drug is for blood pressure, is it?
I don't know.
Not that I'm aware of.
I don't know.
I found it all very anticlimactic. Why didn't they just let this out ahead? Why did this become high drama? It was silly.
It was silly because they kept on waiting for something that was nothing, unless it took them time for it to be nothing. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, I think that Trump played it like a showman. Will I give him the report? Will I not? Will I talk to Dr. Oz? Will I not? What do you say, audience? And, you know, and it was really quite nothing. He's fat, which you can tell by just looking at him. He's also orange. You know, we know that.
Slightly overweight was how Dr. Memon.
267 pounds.
Okay. So meanwhile, I think because of the concern and what happened on Sunday with Hillary Clinton, there was perhaps greater scrutiny about those reports.
Correct.
However, Now, we already had the original report from last June, which listed all of the medications that she was taking, all of the cholesterol and blood pressure. So the new report in the new physical yesterday said that she had slightly lower blood pressure, nothing to be concerned about, lower, although they did say that is one symptom that could have caused the lightheadedness, so there is some consistency there. And also the fact that other than the pneumonia, which was referred to as mild.
No sign of Parkinson's.
That's right, according to the doctor's report.
So again, why did it have to reach this fever pitch before it's all released? I don't get it.
So, Alan, does it make a difference?
Well, I think it does make a difference. I think Trump thinks it makes a difference. He got up there yesterday and started, you know, making noises about, do you think Hillary could stand up here for an hour and
do
this?
What
clearly,
I'm
it may well be that his handlers are telling him not to do that because he looks like a bully and picking on somebody else. Nevertheless, it would appear that he can't stop himself from doing that kind of stuff. And he thinks, whether it's true or not, that when you're the president of the United States, you have to be physically strong, and he's perpetuating that myth that he, who, by the way, the doctor says is overweight, right? I mean, the doctor said he was overweight.
Yeah.
He was obese. And we know that obesity is not good. So, he's making that claim thinking it'll work for him.
Okay, here's a question. Trump's campaign has made the report repeated, the claim repeatedly that the only people who care about his tax returns, the only people who care are journalists. Is that true? Do you think people really don't want to see where his money is and how he spends it?
You looking at me?
Yeah.
I think it depends on who you support. I think Hillary supporters would like to see them very much.
I think Trump, see hers, too.
Trump supporters, I don't think, care much about it.
I mean, it's hard to say it since journalists, but by the same token, it seems to me that if you go back to a tradition that has been going for decades of candidates who have released full financial records, and you have one that isn't, and especially where there are so many questions, the first time we've really had a businessman running for president, yes.
Well, I mean, are there any polls that any of you know of that said, I want to see the candidates' records or not?
And by the way, George Bush wasn't a businessman.
He was a former governor.
George W. Yeah, that's true.
He was a former governor.
Good point. Yeah. But he was a businessman.
Well, I mean, many of them had careers prior to their governance, but he was still a former governor.
Well, Mitt Romney is the last one I remember, and we certainly wanted to see his, and they were complex and interesting.
I'm looking that up right now.
Okay.
And seeing if I find anything.
Thank
I thought
you.
I thought I heard something at some point.
They seem so confident about
62% of people believe that he should release his tax returns, according to an NBC. No.
But the question would be, whether 62% of the people who think he should release his tax returns, what percentage of that 62% would be willing to vote against him because he hadn't?
Well, here's the story. This came from this is August 25th, so fairly fresh. 62% of Republicans want Donald Trump's tax returns. A majority of Republican voters likely to cast ballots in November want to see his tax returns. This is according to Quinnipiac. Among all likely voters surveyed, 74% say the businessman should release his tax returns, while 21% said they do not think he should. More than 6 in 10 Republican voters said they would like to see their party's nominee do so before they vote for him.
So that seems like a distortion by the Trump campaign, that no one cares except us journalists.
And, I mean, obviously... Well, I don't know that it is obvious. Do we assume, Ray, that there is something, if somebody is not doing something, that they're hiding something?
In this country, in this society, of course.
Well, of course he's hiding something. Because if he wasn't hiding something, he would put the thing out there, wouldn't he?
Well, we thought that with the health report, and there doesn't seem to be anything in either of their reports that was worth hiding or all this drama.
To be clear,
nothing that you know.
I said that we would assume that. I didn't say that it was the case. I would say that the public in general would make that assumption in this day and age.
Right, but you think, and so you would think you would want to go against that assumption. But I think, to your point, Rosemary, isn't it just the campaign doing what the campaign does, that it's not, you know, nobody else is worried about this other than the media elite?
But I think the Trump campaign since the primaries has been about breaking the rules, the paradigms, and saying, well, you know what? We're doing things our way and differently, and to be damned with the old school, basically.
And that plays very strongly to their base, too, which wants something very different. That's interesting.
Meanwhile, back at the back at the ranch, I was going to say that. So Hillary Clinton goes back on the campaign trail today. Donald Trump will continue his campaigning, and the issues seem to be at least Trump seems to still be going after the deplorables remark, and then I think it'll be interesting to see exactly where Hillary sets. I mean, well, I guess I wouldn't call it the reset button, but at least this phase of the campaign of coming back and how much she makes of the illness.
Is she headed back to California? Do we know that?
That's
what she canceled earlier this week.
Isn't she going to North Carolina?
I think it was North Carolina. And I know she's going back. I think I read that she is also going back to the 9/11 memorial on Sunday.
Oh, wow. New polls showed Trump gaining in Ohio, which he seemed to have at one point.
That's what I was going to say. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, to Alan's question that comes most days, and that is, according to the New York Times today, the latest poll is that they're dead even.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, Hillary said it herself. I didn't expect it to be a cakewalk. I expected it to be a close race, and it will be. I think first debate is going to be the bellwether of the entire thing.
That's interesting, because debates don't usually decide presidential elections.
This one's going to be watched, I think.
You think this is going to be different in precedent setting?
Yep, or huge, depending on how you say it.
My wife is so excited about it that she's bringing a select few hundred people to our house to watch the debate.
Pete Seeger going to be there?
No, he's passed on now.
Oh, that's right.
I didn't get my invitation. I'll look for it when I go home tonight.
Will you please? Yeah.
Would you go if I paid you $100? Would you go to that?
I would go even without
$100. Really?
Of course.
Yeah, Roselle sets a nice table.
Oh, but will you be there?
Sleeping upstairs.
Right, I'll make it $200 then, Rosemary.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. We will continue our conversation. You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.
Support comes from Clear Yoga in Rhinebeck, presenting the workshop Twistings and Forward Bends with Jarvis Chen, Sunday, September 18th. ClearYogaRhinebeck.com. First Light, providing high-speed data internet co-location and voice services to businesses over its own fiber optic network and supported by locally based personnel. FirstLight.net. Rockefeller College of Public Affairs and Policy on UAlbany's downtown campus, offering full, part-time, and evening studies in political science, public administration, and international affairs. albany.edu/Rockefeller. And Allardyce Glass and Mirror, Saratoga Springs, New York, providing sales, service, and installations of glass, shower enclosures, mirror, and screen products for the home. Allardyce.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. We're going to go to a few listener letters, and then we'll go to a break at the bottom of the hour, and then we'll move on to some other topics as well. Alan has his great machine in front of him, so we go to the letters now.
Okay, and thank you for that, Joe.
Very professional today.
Thank you for that, Joe. Michelle says, why should we naively assume that Trump's health report is and was complete, seeing how honest he was about everything else? He is about everything else. And for those inclined to think so, I suppose the same could be said for Hillary. Just saying, these days, little is as it appears. Oh, well, it says at the very bottom, anonymous, but it says Michelle at the top. Thank God I didn't give her a last name. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That would have been bad. Meddens says, reported this morning that CNN's Ohio poll showing Trump gaining did not get Trump numbers among younger voters, but did H-E-T Hillary's. Anybody get that? I don't know. Check the writing, please. Barbara says, Trumpkins, that's what I'm going to call my fat and orange pumpkins.
Charming.
I do think that the Trump campaign put to rest the story that Melania, the potential first lady, is, as he would say, illegal immigrant. They brought on a well-known immigration lawyer to say no, he'd looked at the records and had found that there was no violation. Remember that whole story
has
gotten
course.
Out of hand? Yeah. And of course, he made it worse by saying, oh, Melania will have a press conference in 2 weeks. He said that 5 weeks ago to put it all to rest. We're not going to see the records directly, but a lawyer who has seen them, who is himself a Democrat, who wants to vote for Hillary Clinton, so it seemed, you know, not to be an interested party, vetted them and said she's clear.
Stacy says, Trump's tax returns. Hi, Roundtable. I am not a journalist, and I want to see his returns. Newsweek has several interesting articles about his business success claims and debt with foreign entanglements. Hillary's team should be fact-checking these articles and use them if the facts check out. And that's from Stacy. All right. And then Barbara says, I am sick and tired of hearing all about what the candidates are or are not hiding. What is most important and what I would much rather know, pardon me, is what their policies are on saving Social Security, health care, et cetera.
Can I just pause there for a moment
and
ask the panel in the minute we have before we go to a break, is it surprising to you, is this campaign more so than most completely issue-free in the sense of we aren't talking about policies. We're not having those discussions about Social Security or health care or any other. Even not saying that they're the most important issues, we're not having those discussions.
We're getting a lot of letters on this issue. But I do think that we have a pretty good idea of who is for what. I mean, you know that Hillary Clinton is for preserving Social Security as we know it. You don't know any such thing about Donald Trump.
Have we so forgotten all the debates? There have been dozens of debates on both sides.
Well, not between the two.
Not between the two, but they're coming up.
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after this. I think there's that stereotypical thing where the parent is cleaning the child's bedroom and they find their diary and they look at it for a moment and they, do I read it or do I not read it? And you want to know and yet you don't. Want to invade their privacy.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so Donald Trump is a national disgrace and an international pariah who gave voice to a racist movement to question President Obama's citizenship. Former Secretary of State Colin Powell tapped on his keyboard in his emails that were hacked. Hillary Clinton, he typed in an email to another friend, is a greedy, not transformational figure who messes up everything she touches because of her hubris and has a husband still, well, entertaining bimbos while she is away. See, this is why you want to read the diary. And former Vice President Dick Cheney and his daughter are idiots, flacking their new book, and the Iraq War was mishandled from the get-go by the Defense Department's top officials. Other than that, the retired general and statesman wrote in one exchange, all's well with the Powells.
I love this guy. I love him. And I'll tell you why. I think he was a great general, a great leader. But also that when caught, he could have denied it, could have said it was hacked, it's made up. He didn't. He said, yep, those are my words.
Boy, and I have the opposite reaction.
Really?
I don't understand our fascination with Colin Powell. He was duped by his colleagues, didn't have the courage himself or the stamina to run for president. And he can write about people like Hillary Clinton. I don't want to vote for her, even though she's my friend and I respect her. That's like completely dishonest.
No, we sure are on different
I don't
sides
like,
on this.
We
thing.
Totally are on different
and
sides.
And I'm on a completely
reprehensible.
Different side.
This is his personal email.
Yeah.
Where's the outrage? It was hacked and made public. He can say whatever he wants about whomever he wants.
We've done a site link to the Russian government, and certainly
this
has
is appalling.
There's a big difference between, I think Ray and I are together on this one, there's a big difference between what you write privately to people who are are your friends or your acquaintances and people that you want to share information to, assuming that it's not going to be hacked and released to the free world.
Well, there's the problem. Why is he in that position and assuming email of all things, will not be hacked? As someone who's gotten in trouble for things I've written, you really ought to try not to write anything that you in an email that you would not expect to see or could stand to see in public.
What about writing a letter to a friend?
As Alan Chartok told me a long time ago, woulda, coulda, shoulda.
I mean, if you write, if it's 100 years ago and Rosemary writes a letter to someone and with a reasonable expectation that that is a private letter to a friend, then it is stolen and made public in the newspaper, then that's not a problem?
Private letters are totally different.
No, it's not. It's exactly the same.
Email is different.
Wrong.
Right? I am wrong.
Wait, there are two issues here, and we're arguing at cross purposes. One is on privacy, and I have to agree with that. It's terrible that he was hacked. It's terrible that the DNC is being hacked. On the other hand, there's him. There's Colin Powell, and I think there are characters
he made a terrible mistake.
That have been exposed.
Well, he made a terrible mistake. He said some things about war.
He got us to war. Yeah, it's more than a terrible mistake.
But so did everybody else. Hillary and your wonderful Hillary and everybody else. They all voted for it. What are you talking about?
And he didn't vote for it. He made the case for it, and he used his reputation and his standing, and he legitimized a fake war. He was duped by his colleagues.
But I do think you need to be a little bit more even-handed here, Rosemary, when it comes to the fact that Hillary voted for that war also and was out there and had all kinds of information.
She stood up and apologized for it, whereas Colin Powell is saying, oh, her minions are trying to hook me into this whole thing with the emails. He was hooked into it. He did tell her this is what I did.
Well, look, Kenny wrote us a letter, and he said, fatigue, you all sound a little down and muted of spirit as of today.
I don't think so.
Perhaps the fatigue of months going on, years of talking about Donald Trump and even Hillary Clinton, or is it the realization that after all the abomination of Donald Trump's personage, he is still dead even with Hillary. dead even with Hillary. Highly qualified public servant. So that's why,
I'm depressed about that. I admit that.
Yeah. Well, but I wondered if Kenny still felt we were muted after that last extraordinary exchange.
It was extraordinary? Okay.
I don't know why Colin Powell is such a national hero. I see some really big problems. Big problems.
General?
I love him.
As a general?
No. As a Secretary of State and what he's done since, I don't think he's acting honorably.
I love the guy.
I do think privacy is a whole different issue. We can argue about that. To be hacked, and the DNC is exposed, probably the RNC, I think we're in big trouble with that. But, now that it's out, as you say, he owned it. You were saying that's courageous. I think his opinions were, he's two-faced. How would you like to be friends with him?
I'd love to be friends with him. I'd love to have lunch with the guy. And I'm going to tell you, George just wrote, dear Rosemary, I don't think Colin Powell is upset at all that these emails came out.
Interesting.
Yeah.
He wants people to know this stuff. Why?
And Mike's checked in and said, Rosemary, Ray is absolutely right about the emails. Rosemary just blindly and rabidly defends Hillary no matter how glaring the real truth is.
I
had nothing to do with Hillary. I'm attacking Colin Powell. Let me be clear about that.
Oh, I think it was pretty clear.
I thought it was too. Can we hear from some women on this?
It wasn't exactly muted. I don't know.
All you men like the general. And Petraeus, too. Another reprehensible.
You seriously think that's a sexist issue?
I do. I think that yes. So military men, are big heroes. No, I don't think that.
So now you're going to play that card.
Well, let's hear. Women writers, tell us what you think.
When all else fails, you play that card. And sure, you'll get a few.
I have a Hillary card. I have a woman's card.
So do you respect, so is it possible then for you to respect a general?
Of course it is.
Okay, so why wouldn't it be...
Eisenhower, I think, was a remarkable person.
So why wouldn't it make sense for a man, for any of us in this room, to respect a general? whether it be Colin Howard or anybody
else. I didn't make a big generalization like that. I think in this case, I did not. No man could criticize him. No woman could not criticize him. No, I didn't say anything like
that.
Okay,
but
I think you're far more forgiving of things that I see as glaring faults.
I don't disagree. I think there are some glaring faults, but there's also a man. That man was a hero prior to even being named Secretary of State.
Yeah, but we're not talking about the first Gulf War right now. If you want to talk about that, it's a different conversation.
Well, all I know is that Bob checked in from Albany.
Let a
listener's malady. Let's take a breath. I think we're all suffering from a bad case of Trumperary insanity.
Hey, that's oh boy! Cute. Don't write again, Bob.
Yes, Bob, that's good. You can write again.
So Cassie says, "I don't care. I say, who cares about tax returns? We don't make the money or pay their taxes. I also don't care about their health because, honestly, an answers would be much better thing in a candidate. Hillary didn't disavow syncope due to blood pressure medication as it usually
would. That's the condition when you're almost fainting.
Right. Okay, and on like that. All right, Joe, back to you. I'm sorry. Didn't mean to...
No, that's all right.
Thomas said.
All right.
Thomas said, "I can't believe her." Ray's right. I can't believe
exactly.
her from Tom.
I don't even know what he's agreeing with. But all right, thank you, Tom. Thank you very much.
I think Rosemary's off base here. Says Doug, email hacked is just as wrong as having a private letter stolen. With that said, once exposed, you have to own what the email letters say, and that's from Doug in Woodstock. And Elias agreed with you, Rosemary. Lost much respect for Powell after hearing that he quoted the New York Post as the believable source that Bill Clinton continues to cheat on Hillary.
Maybe that wasn't his only source.
Yeah, you don't know that. Okay. Well, anyway, go ahead, Joe. I'm sorry. Sorry for sticking my nose in here.
That's all right. Well,
I'm trying to get that first guy, you know, happy that we're at each other.
All right. So while that hack was exposed yesterday, because we didn't really talk about the fact that it was hacked in the Russian and going on the site. So then there's the larger issue here in the New York Times reports. The Russian hackers would not be able to change the outcome of the U.S. presidential election. The nation's most senior intelligence and law enforcement officials have assured Congress and the White House in recent weeks. But disrupting it, they acknowledge, would be far easier, causing doubts in battleground states, prompting challenges to results, and creating enough chaos to make Florida's hanging chad seem like a quaint problem from the analog age. By some measures, in fact, the disruption has already begun.
Yep. I mean, it has all the hallmarks, I think, of a Putin disinformation campaign. He doesn't care that he's caught doing outrageous things. He just wants you caught up in finding out his fraud or defending the position you stand for. He loves this. And I do think that a lack of confidence in the American system would be a detriment to this country.
I think that this points out the next war, which may have already begun. In the old days, the Soviets or the U.S. would have to lob some nukes to destroy a country.
Right.
Now, with everything being interconnected and electronic and online, you could literally destroy a country, both in the Cold War sense, whereas Stalin had fellow travelers that in this country tried to shape cultural ideas and move society in a certain way. Meanwhile, the Army and the Air Force was ready to attack. Now you can do all of those things. You can subvert the foundations and the underpinnings of society by destroying the infrastructure, the actual information structure. And at the same time, you can knock out all of the utilities. You can knock out capabilities for communication. It could be hard and a hot war and a cold war all at the same time. We are voiced by our own petard.
Yeah. Well, by the way, you're right. I want to go back to a segment of what you just said, which I found extraordinarily interesting. You said Stalin had his fellow travelers in the United States.
I didn't say you.
Stalin had his fellow travelers. You mean like integration and
no,
and
I mean
schools.
People who were paid by money routed through the United States Communist Party, which was coming from the Soviet Union, to influence culture.
Well, give me an example of how of the culture that got influenced that way. You know,
I commend. I'm not bringing up any names, but I recommend a book called The Haunted Wood. If you ever get a chance to, in fact, I'll bring it in for you. Mm. It's a fabulous read. Maybe it may open your eyes.
Well, I just want to make sure you know I understand what you meant with that fellow traveler, because all of a sudden I had a sense of.
What I'm saying is there are documented, including in the KGB archives, of trying to influence culture. Now yes. You can do that by all
no,
of
I
a sudden.
That. I got that. Okay. But what, give me an example of what culture you would have liked to influence. If you're talking about one's view towards the Soviet Union in those days, that's one thing. But if you're talking about all the things that needed fixing in America, what's so bad about any of that?
All right. Mm-hmm. There's no talking to you.
No, not really.
No.
All right. With that, we will try to fix all of that in mere moments, and we'll take a break, and then we'll come back, and everything will be better. We also have other issues to discuss as well.
You missed the point of what I was trying to say.
We'll be back in a second.
No.
Support comes from the Lenox Chamber of Commerce, presenting the 36th Annual Lenox Apple Squeeze, September 24th and 25th, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Family fun park, live music, and over 125 vendors. Lenox.org for information. The Green Toad Bookstore, Oneonta's independent bookseller, serving the local and college community. Book signings, book clubs, personalized service. GreenToadBookstore.com. The Southern Adirondack Fiber Festival, Greenwich, featuring book signing and Sweet Pea and Friends author John Churchman and spinning classes. Used fiber equipment auction, adkfiber.com for schedule. And Mead Art Museum at Amherst College, presenting a new reinstallation of the collection of works by contemporary artists this fall, open Tuesday through Sunday, amherst.edu/mead.
What are you two arguing about?
Just arguing. It's like talking to a wall, okay? It's
a
like talking to
wall.
A wall. Forget it. Just forget it.
All right. Let's go to some letters.
Are we on? Whoops.
Yeah, we have a lot of letters, and most of them have an opinion on at least one of us. Go ahead.
Okay. Kevin says... I applaud Rosemary for standing up to you guys. Powell is no hero. He lost his credibility when he went to the UN. Regards from Kevin, and he's also named Powell, and he says no relation. Okay.
Kevin, you're in touch with your feminine side. Congrats.
Okay. And Linda says, from a woman. Okay, here's my two cents snout. Says snout, but it must be about Colin Powell. He went on TV back before the Iraq War and said with graphs that it was necessary. Last week he denied telling Hillary Clinton that he encouraged her to use private email service. However, Paul Krugman says in a recent column in the New York Times that Powell's email to Clinton said just that. Nowhere else did I hear that. But I trust Krugman, the Nobel laureate, whose father and mother lived across the street from us. More than what passes for news in most media, especially the New York Times, on the subject of Clinton. I am so, Lisa says, I'm so tired and bored of hearing about two corrupt candidates.
Boy, they're not the same. They're not equal. I hate those kind of kind of parallelism. Yeah.
Well, a lot of people write the station and the show and say, you know, there are two other candidates.
And okay, I wrote back to somebody this morning and said,
candidates.
Perhaps you didn't hear my 1 hour interview with Jill Stein. I didn't hear back from her. How come we never hear on WAMC and other places?
And I guess Christina's tried to get a hold of Gary Johnson's people a couple of times.
Oh, we have
to
tried
get him
we
on
have tried
as
again
well.
And again.
So you've done your due diligence, sir.
Well, I have, and I
congrats.
Have.
Albany,
yes.
What's Albany?
Nice.
Oh, wow.
Robert says, Ray is correct.
Put
Alan,
that in an email.
Ray is correct. Alan needs to read not only The Haunted Wood, but also the books on the Venona cables.
Sounds like
he has the what cables,
the
Alan?
The Venona cables.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Sounds like he has a lot to learn about Soviet espionage in the post-war era. I'm not making an argument with Stalin. I couldn't stand the son of a gun. But in addition, I took some exception to Ray's issue about changing culture in America.
Read the book,
being
Daddy.
Fellow
O.
travelers.
Well, that was an ancillary point to what I said, which was about the fact that we are all connected via internet and everything is dependent on internet. You can mix a Cold War and a hot war together all at once from afar without losing a soldier. That's what I'm saying. The times, they are a-changing, as some lefty once said.
And Janet's, see, there you go again, as some lefty once said. So, okay, so here we go. You mean the poet Bob Dylan? Is that who you're talking about?
I was joking. Okay. Just move on.
Okay, Janet says, clarification. Why was Alan asking for clarification on an issue? I'd also like to know which cultural items were involved. Thanks. That's Janet from Ulster Park. Let's see. Hey, I'm telling you guys.
Hey.
One per customer, not three or four. Stop it now. Stop it.
Can I add to the venting on that?
Yeah.
If we don't read your letter the first time, don't forward it again as if we didn't see it.
Just don't do that.
Sometimes we're going to skip your letter.
Everybody's in a bad mood. Is it me? Is it my fault?
They're really crabby
today.
It's
your fault usually,
you
right?
I am.
It's usually my fault, but I've been relatively silent except for Colin Powell today.
So
by the way, we got balled out for not having the right kind of discussion here. You know, people said it's a zeer,
Yeah, it is.
A zeer.
Okay. And John says, keep in mind, Ray, because of the interconnected, when everyone is influencing everyone's culture. I went to St. Petersburg in Russia last year, and what did I see? A bunch of millennials with their heads looking into smartphones. Sound familiar?
Yeah. Well, I guess we could do it too, eh? Maybe we are. Probably.
John says, how much transformational in a negative way can one be legitimizing an elected war that kills a million innocents? He's no hero in my book. His opinions re Hillary are interesting, but consider the source. Agree with Rosemary. You guys have man crush.
Yep.
Okay. Panel.
Yes.
Trump is being graded on a curve. The curve is not based on his opponent's grades, but on his own rhetoric and reprehensible behavior that we have been almost become immune to over the course of in this election cycle. Meanwhile, anything Hillary says is scrutinized under a microscope. Why is there not more outrage about this double standard? Thanks, Lou.
Some of us are pretty outraged.
Yeah.
Steve says, I wonder if male panelists on the roundtable routinely discounted and attacked the opinions of a female panelist or listen on the basis of their gender, as Rosemary routinely does, regarding male panelists and listeners, whether such a panelist would be welcome back week after week to continue the same behavior. I further wonder why you'll read this, whether you'll read this on the air. And by the way, I started reading it before I even came to that last sentence. Whether you'll read this on the air and address her persistent sexist behavior. That's from Steve. I think Rosemary is the best thing since sliced bread. And I would do nothing to endanger her being on this show. I love her. And I love the fact that she is as opinionated as she wants to be. I'm all for it. Okay.
Fine.
All things Trump, says Frank. After the years of reality and email election, I'm wondering about the state of the state when a candidate under investigation for fraud commits suicide, guilty, and still wins the state primary, all distracted by all things Trump. Well, we've covered that. I talked about it this morning on the air. And we've covered that again and again. But basically, what happened is we had a candidate. He went to the cemetery. He shot himself. People on the Republican county committees said, vote for the guy, even though he's dead, because we want to be able to name the next one.
Wow.
See, on the Committee on Vacancies and whatever. And people did. So that's what Frank's talking about. Kate said, never liked Powell. Powell's credibility was shot when he fell for the false premise, getting us into a ridiculous war. He should have done better research. Hell yes, I want to see Trump's tax returns. He says he can't release anything because he's being investigated. What about the returns before the ones under scrutiny? He's a liar and a cheat, and I don't know why he's being held accountable while Hillary's under a microscope for every single thing. Kate says, I'll give you a woman's point of view here, Rosemary. Not everything is a sexist issue. Maybe you never cared for Colin Powell before this, but with your words, it comes across that you think he's acting dishonestly just because of what he said about Hillary Clinton. Let's be real. If Powell's emails not only revealed his negative feelings about Trump, you would probably be praising him up and down.
It did reveal his negative feelings about Trump. The difference is that he professes to be a friend who respects Hillary. That's two-faced.
And James says, I think Rosemary has a point. I think sometimes men do have a blind spot to certain issues on war and high-level generals. It is something sometimes hard to see the forest for the trees, but I think it's at least fair to say that Colin Powell was a complicated figure. Also, meow, that cat has claws. James.
Nice. You see, you go and you ruin that.
Yeah. I liked it.
Susan says, I am a female. And I am appalled that Rosemary blames Colin Powell for being duped on Iraq while she gives Hillary a free pass on the same thing. I also consider myself feminist. Whew.
Don't give her a pass on it.
All right. We have 2 minutes. Do we have more letters?
Do we have more letters?
All right. Go ahead.
Okay. Hello, round the table.
Hello.
I can only imagine the letters if Rich Honan acted like Rosemary. And that's
does act like me. That's why we're here.
Let's give Rosemary a break here, all right?
No, I can take it.
Because she's a lady. Whoa, she's a lady.
Hey, it's three against one. Can I just point that out?
What? Okay.
Three against one plus the
Am
letters.
I arguing with you on anything?
No, we've been allies today, so watch it.
Yeah, and I barely count.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
don't ever say that about yourself, Joe. And Josh says, Rosemary, ! I'm sure Rosemary has never privately said an unkind word about any of her friends.
Certainly none of us in this room.
I don't know, when I wake up at night and all of a sudden the hair is standing on the back of my neck, I can say, there goes Rosemary again.
For heaven's sake.
But that's just the media project.
I just say it to your face. I don't have to have different
opinions. That's true. Stacy says, you go, girl. I'm with you, Rosemary. Email's private? No way. If something you do not want repeated, do not put it in writing, Stacy.
That is ludicrous, both of you.
Yeah, email is like a postcard. And yes, you can address it to someone, but anybody else along the way can read it.
Well, then,
and you're
a
crazy
problem.
If you don't regard it that
problem
way.
Problem with society. There's a problem with the way things are going.
Oh, and
well,
Nurse
clearly.
And Nurse Carol Lapani corrects my ignorance and says syncope is pronounced syncope, lightheadedness.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Carol.
Thanks, Carol. We
can
love
you come in more often and keep them on the straight and narrow here?
And Bernard says, I'm beginning to think that Rosemary is a little, ever so little, prejudiced against men.
Ouch.
No, some of my best friends are men.
Well, all right. Giggity, giggity. Let's get out of here.
Okay.
Giggity.
Never mind. No, Family Guy. Leave it alone.
Was that our Daryl Wall trip? Go ahead.
Keep moving. Keep moving or not?
No.
We have 20 seconds. Go ahead. One more. Yes,
Elizabeth
thank you.
Says, everyone has a right to discuss in private their views, no matter how controversial. I support Colin Powell, admire him, and think his public opinions are very worth listening to. Rosemary is no face.
Well, you will recall at the beginning of this hour, I said that it would be radio magic, and I certainly have been proven correct on that on all fronts. Rosemary, Ray, Alan, thank you very much.
Welcome.
We'll continue with the roundtable after this.